Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. As always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at crumplerbaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Friday, April 5th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes. Our first IL placement was Eloy Jimenez, an outfielder for the White Sox. He was placed on the 10-day IL with a left adductor strain. Eloy suffered the injury last weekend, but the White Sox attempted to wait out his recovery. That didn't happen, so he'll hit the IL. The severity of the strain is unknown at the moment. A grade 1 strain would have him back in the minimum time, and a grade 2 strain could keep him out until May. Robbie Grossman had his contract selected from the minors, but Gavin Sheets will be the man to fill in during Eloy's absence. Reliever Jonathan Loaisiga of the Yankees was placed on the 60-day IL with a right elbow strain. One of the Bronx Bombers' top setup men is due for an extended absence. The team described Loaisiga's strain as severe, so we likely won't see him return until after the All-Star break at the earliest. Ian Hamilton will have to step up as the team's go-to setup option, while Caleb Ferguson and Nick Birdie should see more high-leverage situations. In terms of transactions, Ty France was placed on the paternity list. He should be back soon, but Luke Reilly will see at-bats at first base over the weekend. Randall Grichuk of the Diamondbacks was activated from the 10-day IL. The outfielder began the season on the IL with ankle discomfort, likely stemming from the surgery he had in January to remove bone spurs from the area. And with Alec Thomas on the IL, Grichuk will act as the team's fourth outfielder and will man the strong side of the right field platoon with Jake McCarthy. In terms of news, the White Sox recently signed Mike Clevinger to a major league deal, and the club expects that he'll make his season debut in early May. Alex Cobb of the Giants, who's recovering from hip surgery, paused his throwing program due to an elbow issue. This likely pushes his return date to May. He was previously set to return in April. Jacob Junis, a former Giant, is dealing with shoulder soreness. Aaron Ashby is on the taxi squad and would take Junis' spot if he were unable to pitch. The consensus number one pitcher in fantasy baseball, Spencer Strider, reported discomfort in his elbow after getting shelled for 5 runs while experiencing declining velocity during his start against the defending National League champion Diamondbacks. Strider is set to undergo an MRI today, which should give us an idea of whether or not it's time to panic. Trevor Story left yesterday's game against the Angels with an apparent severe shoulder injury. After making a diving attempt at a ball while playing shortstop, Story was left writhing in pain in the outfield grass. He continued to appear to be in considerable pain as he walked off the field, and you should check back in tomorrow for an update on Story's status. He's likely headed for an extended IL stay. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Tyler O'Neill in Los Angeles against the Angels as he helped the Red Sox to a win, going 3-for-4, scoring 3 times with a pair of long balls and 2 runs batted in. His first home run traveled 410 feet with a 101.6 mile per hour exit velocity, while the second one traveled 382 feet with a 104.7 mile per hour exit velocity. O'Neill is now tied for the American League lead in home runs alongside Adolis Garcia. This should be a common occurrence in his first year in Boston. The biggest factor in his success, as always, will be his health. We saw what the bulked up outfielder could do at his peak. O'Neill hit 34 homers and swiped 15 bags while batting .286 in 2021, and he still has that in him if he can stay on the field. The ceiling may be even higher considering he's in one of the friendliest offensive home parks and is in an environment of inflated stolen base totals. Don't get your hopes up too high on O'Neill because of his extensive injury history, but don't be surprised by an elite fantasy campaign. Ryan McMahon helped the Rockies to a win versus the Rays, going 3-for-5, scoring twice with a home run, a double, and 4 runs batted in. His home run traveled 417 feet with a 102.5 mile per hour exit velocity. McMahon took advantage of his first taste of the thin Colorado air to blast his first dinger of the year. The third baseman feels like a perfectly average yet underrated fantasy contributor. McMahon plays every day, bangs out 20-plus home runs with chip and stolen bases while not hurting you in the average department, though there's a sense we have yet to witness the best from the former top prospect. If McMahon can hone in the strikeouts, an area he struggled with in 2023 as he struck out nearly 32% of the time, he could take advantage of the BABIP perks in Coors. And if he does that, McMahon can hit closer to 260 or even 270 with closer to 30 bombs. And we'd truly be looking at a late round success if that were to occur. And lastly, we have Michael Busch as he helped the Cubs to a win versus the Dodgers, going 1-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, an RBI, and a walk. His home run went 371 feet and had an exit velocity of 109 miles per hour. Busch showed his former team what they're missing out on. His first big performance for the Cubs was integral in their winning effort against the West Coast juggernaut Dodgers. The home run proved Busch has more power in his bat than he had exhibited in previous MLB appearances. The 109 mile per hour exit velocity on the long ball set a career high max exit velocity for the first baseman. With the change of scenery and a clearer path to playing time, we may finally witness the 2019 first round pick translate his success in the minors to the majors. It's important not to forget just how good Busch was. Across 3 years from 2021 to 2023, Busch lit up the minors. He had his true breakout in the first year, reaching 20 homers, tapped into even more power in 2022 with 32 homers across AA and AAA, and then proved it wasn't a fluke by batting 323 with 27 homers in AAA last year. We could see a similar season to that of the aforementioned Ryan McMahon if Busch makes a smooth transition in Chicago. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Friday, make sure to check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Jared Jones versus the Orioles as he took the tough luck loss, allowing 2 runs across 6 innings while surrendering 6 hits, walking nobody while striking out 7. He induced 21 whiffs, which earned him the gallows pull on the day, and paired that with a 35% CSW across 80 pitches. Jones backed up his impressive MLB debut and already looks to be one of the year's top rookie pitchers and one of the steals of the early fantasy baseball season. His fastball and slider dominated once again. The heater averaged 97 and induced 11 whiffs with a 39% CSW. The slider was no slouch either, racking up 9 whiffs on 36% CSW. The curve and change are still almost non-existent, but it doesn't matter when you've got 2 elite pitches to put batters away with. Jones fits the Spencer Strider mold exactly, and while those are lofty expectations to steep on a pitcher just 2 starts into his career, Jones has already earned those comparisons. The Orioles were a legitimate test of the 22-year-old, and I'm excited for the show Jones puts on in Philadelphia next week. Jordan Hicks helped the Giants to a win versus the Padres. He took the no decision, tossing 7 innings while allowing 5 hits and 2 runs, one of which was earned. He walked nobody while striking out 5. He induced 8 whiffs with a 26% CSW across 91 pitches. Hicks has started his San Francisco career off strong with just 1 run allowed across his first 12 innings pitched. However, with single-digit whiff counts, Hicks is likely to be more of a Toby than fantasy managers will want. With his sinker averaging just 95 miles per hour after sitting 100 last year, it won't be able to live inside the zone as it once did. And although his sweeper was solid in this one with 4 whiffs and a 31% CSW, his splitter may not be a reliable third pitch that brings together his arsenal. I trust the Giants coaching staff and Hicks' stuff, but I'm not going to get my hopes up that the team found themselves a dominant starter in free agency. Hicks gets the Nationals next, and that's an auto start in my books. And lastly, we have Brady Singer versus the White Sox as he took a no decision, but the Royals won as he tossed 6 1/3 innings, allowing 2 hits, 1 run, and 1 walk while striking out 4. He induced 10 whiffs with a 32% CSW across 72 pitches. Following a double-digit strikeout season debut, eyes were on Singer to see if he's a changed pitcher this year, ready to live up to the hype that surrounded his first-round selection in 2018. The main problem with Singer over the years is that he serves up meatballs and doesn't have the tools to take down lefties. We didn't see anything to change our mind in his first outing despite the success, and it remains the case here. Singer escaped with just 1 long ball on his ledger and ruled somewhat fortunately with called strikes on his sinker. He is a called strike sinker merchant. His slider did enough work with 5 whiffs to allow him to take down a weakened White Sox lineup, and Singer gets the Astros next, and despite a 0.68 ERA on the season, there is no way I'm starting him there. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick Pollock's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and talk about the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. We'll start it off with the former. Alex Lang earned his first save of the season, and the Tigers' bullpen usage on Friday will slam the brakes on the Jason Foley train. Foley pitched the eighth and could be more of a high-leverage reliever than a traditional closer. It was actually Andrew Chafin who was initially tasked with the ninth, but he walked two batters and left the final out for Lang to get. Edwin Diaz locked down his first of many saves this year. He surrendered an unearned run, which will maintain his pristine ERA. Chad Green vultured his first save of 2023 with Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson out. It was assumed Yimi Garcia would be the interim closer. However, he was used to close out the six, which forced Green into the temporary closer role. This should be a committee until one of Romano or Swanson returns. It took five Cubs wins, but Adibert Alzolay finally recorded his first save. Craig Kimbrell introduced himself to Orioles fans with a perfect ninth to earn his first save in orange. The Royals turned to Will Smith in the ninth, but he only got one out and placed two runners on base, forcing James MacArthur to relieve him as he earned his first save of the year. Smith has started the year in a rough way and could be at risk of losing the closer role to MacArthur or John Schreiber. Kenley Jansen logged his third save of the year, tying him for the MLB lead. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Camilo Doval worked the ninth in a tie game and came away with the win when the Giants walked it off. Justin Lawrence was used in a non-save situation after his offense added on insurance runs in the ninth and he completely fell apart, giving up five runs, four of which were earned, but was bailed out by his offense in the bottom of the inning. Pete Fairbanks was tasked with locking down the save after Lawrence's meltdown, but instead he had one of his own. He lost control of the ball, walking three batters, forcing Jason Adam to come in and serve up the walk-off to the Rockies. Jose Alvarado pitched the ninth despite a four-run lead, and he escaped the outing unscathed. Raisel Iglesias pitched the ninth down by two and kept it that way, allowing the Braves to come back and walk it off in the 10th. Iglesias was afforded that opportunity because Kevin Ginkel blew his first save while attempting to secure the final four outs of the ballgame. Michael Kopech worked the eighth in a tie game for the White Sox but gave up a run and took the loss. It's still unclear who the top dog on the South side is. After his team clawed back to even the score in the ninth, Andres Munoz surrendered a walk-off as he lost the zone completely. Munoz walked four batters and was tagged with his first loss of the year. Munoz may not have had a chance to pitch if not for Abner Uribe blowing his first save of the year. The young righty still came away with the win, though, after his offense bailed him out. But if you'd like a breakdown of all the notable relief pitching performances from Friday, make sure to check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And now we'll look forward to Saturday, April 6th, a day in which we'll have another full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Garrett Whitlock versus Reed Detmers. Both starters showed out in their season debuts as they look to get off on the right foot as they aim for potential breakout seasons. In terms of probable starters for Saturday, our auto start tier has five guys, which includes Max Fried versus the Diamondbacks, Kevin Gausman in New York, Yoshinobu Yamamoto in Chicago, Joe Ryan versus the Guardians, and Michael King in San Francisco. Our probably starts tier is nine guys, and our questionable starts tier is seven guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day. It's not a great day for streaming. Paul Blackburn will take on the Tigers in Detroit. He's a Toby and has already proven this year that he can go deep into ball games, completing seven innings his last time out. And against a weak Detroit lineup, Blackburn could cruise to a quality start. I'd also keep an eye out for Trevor Rogers in St. Louis. He's yet to truly prove himself back to his old ways, but this could be the start where Rogers gets back on track and now's your chance to get in early. In terms of hitter suggestions, I have to go with Rays and Rockies hitters in Coors. The Rockies are turning to Ryan Feltner, so target left-handed hitting Rays, while the Rays will go with Tyler Alexander on the mound, which should incline you to pick up right-handed Rockies. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Kenley Jansen has pitched three times in the past 4 days, but so has Chris Martin. So Josh Winkowski or Justin Slayton could vulture a save today. Alex Lang, Andrew Chafin, and Jason Foley have all pitched on back-to-back days, so Shelby Miller should be the first arm turned to in the ninth today. Will Smith has appeared in three of the past four games, so James MacArthur could cement himself as the closer with a successful outing. And lastly, basically every late-inning arm has pitched for the Mets across the past 2 days, so expect to see Edwin Diaz back out there once again, despite the heavy workload. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.